We are inside 3 weeks away from Big Ten Media Days. Oh, gosh. 3 weeks? And it's a Three Things Thursday?
You got me. I thought you were messing up on, and we were going to have to restart this show. But I see what you've
done it again.
And I hate you for it.
Again. Welcome to the Austin and Berm Show. I am Austin Ward. He is Jeremy Birmingham. And it is, in fact, a Thursday, one day before the 4th of July. Hope you all have a fantastic holiday weekend. And as we get rolling towards that and towards the trip to Las Vegas later this month, where Jeremiah Smith will be, he is already making news. If you have not seen it already, we're going to dive in to his quotes to The Athletic, a story by Manny Navarro there. There is a lot to unpack. In fact, there's like, I don't know, three different angles that we might be able to take on that. But it is coincidence, Berm, that we were just talking about Jeremiah Smith being chosen to go represent Ohio State, and that he may well be the truth teller or a truth teller for the Buckeyes this year. And lo and behold, he did exactly that.
Yeah. The way you view that, I guess, might be different depending on which side of the Ohio State football program you're on. If you're on our side, the outside looking in, you go, oh, neat. This is good news. We've got something to discuss. If you're on the other side, if you are perhaps a football coach at Ohio State who was saying, hey, buddy, let's not.
It's mid-July. Don't talk trash.
Right. Maybe. But this is the thing about Jeremiah Smith, and we'll dive into this particulars of the quote. But before we do, like, let's understand something. Jeremiah Smith is not cocky. Jeremiah Smith is not trash talking. Jeremiah Smith, when there is a national media member who comments in the middle of the spring that says some Notre Dame freshman locked up Jeremiah Smith, and Jeremiah Smith responds on Twitter and says, LOL, okay. It's not him being cocky. He's just saying you don't understand who you're talking about or what. Like, this is not Jeremiah being arrogant. This is not a guy who is like a diva slash douchebag wide receiver. He's just saying, okay, you obviously don't know what you actually saw, because nobody clamped Jeremiah Smith. Like, Ohio State went away from Jeremiah Smith, or Ohio State used him in a different role, or
no one person.
Right. No, the fact that he had an injured hip that almost, you know, was a real problem for him in the playoff run. Despite the fact that he was still basically unguardable when somebody tried to guard him one-on-one. Like, this is who he is. It's not cocky. It's not arrogance. It's not JJ being a diva. It's just a guy who's not actually a human. And so when people, like, if a normal human being would say the things that Jeremiah said in this Athletic article to Manny Navarro, I think you'd be like, well, he's just being an arrogant you know what, but that is just not the case with JJ. It's just not who he is. He's not affected by things that normal humans are affected by.
Well, I think, like, even in this story, this isn't even one of the quotes that we're going to talk about, but Jeremiah Smith was talking about how he hadn't really accomplished anything yet, or if he thought that anyone thought he was going to get complacent based off year one, that there was still a lot more work for him to do. There was way more humble in this story than anything else, if we're going to be totally honest about it. And even when it comes to what he said about losing to Michigan, that's not arrogance that he wants to go win the next 2 years and he can't stomach it. That is, he didn't take anything away from Michigan. They lost the game. And he said, well, that helped propel them forward. Now he wants to get that bad taste out of his mouth, but he didn't say, well, you know, that was a fluke and that will never happen again. He didn't.
Or we were better than them or whatever.
He didn't say that. He did not say that. And he's not taking the same approach. He's saying he can't take it and he is guaranteeing wins coming forward. That's not like Ryan Williams saying that he's going to go take a sledgehammer to kill an ant after losing to Vanderbilt last year.
Yeah.
Hey, they're not an ant. They beat you. So, like, show some proper respect to that. I think it's crazy that an Alabama player would have to show that to Vanderbilt, but they lost. Jeremiah Smith, I think, did that in this quote, which he says, if you were just listening on the audio platforms, the full quote about Michigan was, I'm not a sore loser, but I hate losing. And losing to that team up north was pretty crazy. In the end, I think it really helped us play the way we did in the playoffs. But I didn't want to go to Ohio State and lose to that team up north. I just hate them. Just something about them. For the next 2 years, I promise you, I will not lose to them. I can't lose to them in the next 2 years. The last two sentences we will get to. But the rest of it, I don't. Is it a June, July, midsummer? Is it a guarantee of victory? I guess it can be. Is it going to find its way onto the bulletin boards in Ann Arbor? Yeah, of course it will be. But I don't have any problem with the rest. And I will also never tell an Ohio State player not to speak their mind when it comes to the rivalry or anything else.
Yeah, and he did immediately self-censor, self-edit by saying, I can't lose to them in the next 2 years, which is decidedly different than saying, I promise I won't lose to them in the next 2 years. But I think it's also worth noting that an ant can lift 10 to 50 times its body weight.
Okay? Oh.
So Ryan Williams needs to be pretty careful about what he's saying.
I hope it's a 100-pound sledgehammer then.
About those Commodore ants. But the fact is, when Jeremiah Smith is talking, and this is what we said, if you give him a microphone, if you ask him a question, JJ's going to answer it. And the answer, we don't get the luxury of knowing exactly the context of the question or the verbiage of the question, but it's, hey, that was pretty crazy, huh? Like, yeah, it was crazy. Ohio State lost to Michigan when they were unranked in the biggest upset in the history of this rivalry. Like, it's a big deal. That was crazy. It's not disrespecting Michigan to say that. Like, that is the fact. Now, the disrespect that comes from the other side is certainly probably something that keeps Jeremiah and the Buckeyes up at night. But to say that he hates them, like, this, he gets it. This is why people love Jeremiah Smith. He gets us. Okay, we've seen those commercials. Those commercials are not about Jesus. They're about Jeremiah Smith. And he gets us.
Be careful.
There's nothing about this rivalry that any Ohio State football player should look at and you're like, oh, that's acceptable. That's cool. That's the way. That's like, he didn't come to Ohio State to lose to Michigan. All these things he's saying are true. But the game has to be played. And Jeremiah Smith is not a player playing the game by himself. So he's going to do everything he can do to make sure that he's better than he was a year ago so that he doesn't lose to Michigan. And that's really the takeaway for me. Like, the parts of this story on The Athletic where he's talking about how he's now 225 pounds and he has the second lowest body fat on the team and he's running 22 miles an hour. These are the things that he's doing. See, this is what I like about Jeremiah. Like, he doesn't want to talk. But if you ask him to, you're going to get revealed the things that are actually motivating him and that drive him to take what he did a year ago, which is the best freshman season for a wide receiver in major college football history. And I'm not going to include Michael Crabtree at Texas Tech as major college football. So people who are immediately going to talk about the numbers, that wasn't major college football at the time. What matters is that he's taking this stuff as fuel to improve himself, which is super scary for everyone else because the guy that's this good is trying to motivate himself. And that is very telling about Jeremiah Smith's actual humility and his mindset.
And I do think it's interesting and illuminating. We've talked about how this team has successfully, in my opinion, thus far, fought off complacency coming off the national championship and the meeting the day of the celebration in the Horseshoe and the leadership group, you know, taking the next step down and getting new seats in the meeting room at the Woody. They've won a national championship. They have those gaudy, beautiful pieces of jewelry, but this is still a group that doesn't have gold pants as well. So I know that in the comments from Jack Sawyer and Will Howard, it's like, yeah, you know, the national championship is going to trump all, but this team in 2025 for Jeremiah Smith, for Caleb Downs, for Sonny Styles can actually accomplish something. The Michigan game and the rivalry is independent of the national championship, the college football playoff. In some ways it is separate from the Big Ten race, not entirely, but potentially can be.
Yeah.
If you're talking about finding ways to motivate, and we've had this conversation or debate or argument, how much has the expansion of the college football playoff, the expansion of the Big Ten diminished the Michigan rivalry? I mean, certainly not for the fans, certainly not to Ryan Day. And now if even Jeremiah Smith coming off of one loss is like, well, that can't happen again. It's unacceptable. You know, that may be the one like dangling carrot out there. They want to go back to back. They want to win another national championship, but that's something that's like, easily within their grasp to go up to the big house and win. And I'm not saying that they should win easily, but that's a one-game situation where they're going to be the more talented team. They're more likely going to be the more motivated team. And if you have Jeremiah Smith already in July talking about how much that stung from him, more so than the national championship, it's hard to see how that's anything but just a really good thing for Ohio State in late November.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something. I'm going to deviate because it's what we do on The Beat on 97.1 The Fan, 10 TV, 10 TV Plus. I bet, I can't prove this. I have no way to validate what I'm going to say, which is my favorite type of saying. but 50 years from now, when Jack Sawyer is sitting on a porch swing, drinking a lemonade and watching the sunset, and his great-grandchildren are running around in the yard, and they say, great-grandpa Jack, what was college football like? And he's going to say, I won a national championship. And they're going to say, where are your gold pants? And he's going to say, I don't have any. And I bet you it's still going to hurt him more than the joy of winning the national championship did now.
Mm.
I bet you. But that's irrelevant. Big picture.
I can't wait to check back with Jack in 50 years.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can just sit down with him and interview him at the time. I think I'll be 102 when he's
That's going to be an illuminating three thoughts.
No, I'll be like 97 years old. Jack, if you're listening, you were the first ever episode of Bermanology. And when I'm 97, you're my last.
I wanted you to be the last. What a life goal. No, I mean, look, you're probably right. Although, imagine what he would say if he didn't have the national championship.
He wouldn't be asked anything. He'd say nothing because nobody would talk to him ever again. But the point is, for Jeremiah Smith and these Buckeyes, like, I don't know what this season portends for Ohio State. I have said over and over, like, I don't think it's realistic for Buckeyes fans to head into this year expecting a true repeat opportunity. I think that there's holes in this roster, and the way that it takes a whole lot of things to go absolutely right to win a national championship. So if that's the expectation heading into this year, then you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Beating Michigan, however, has to happen. Like, there is no way that you can enter the season saying, well, if we don't beat Michigan, it's going to be fine. Like, if you don't win the national championship this year, that's okay. Not beating Michigan this year is not okay. And that is going to be the case every year, but it feels all the more so this year, knowing that Michigan has been running their mouths basically nonstop. And when Jeremiah's, to me, it really speaks to the difference in the way that these programs are viewed nationally. And yes, Ohio State won the national championship, but Jeremiah Smith is the one that people are talking to, the one people are talking about. The Michigan side of things is just always clapping back. They're the ones who are just sniping. They're little pit bull, they're little chihuahuas, and that's what they are. But they're also the chihuahuas that have won four games in a row against Ohio State. So at this point, Ohio State needs to not worry about talking about Michigan and preparing for Michigan, which is ultimately the point of what I think the biggest thing for me that I'm taking away is that JJ is working to beat Michigan. He's not just talking about how he can't lose to them again.
Yeah. And I think it's accountability. There's no part of this.
Sorry, go ahead. Before we go to the next thing that he's talking about, I do want to mention one other thing, but I want you to finish. I'm sorry. I interrupted. Yeah. I'm rude.
No, it's fine. It's the accountability part. Anybody could have, not Jeremiah specifically, anyone that's asked about what happened on November 30th last year could be like, well, you know, it was a close game, but missed two field goals. Quarterback might have been concussed. Like, you know, you saw what happened to us after that, and we got fully healthy and we're at our peak in the playoff run. Like, you know, no one has said that was a fluke. No one has tried to take anything away from Michigan winning the game. There are reasons that it happened that are beyond just like a good game plan for Michigan. Yeah. And an ineffective one for Ohio State. But there's no part of this quote from Jeremiah that's like, well, you know, I think Will Howard was a little bit under the weather in the second half, and they couldn't get me the football the way that they wanted to. Or, you know, if we just make the kicks, then no one would be talking about it. Like, none of that has happened. Nobody has made excuses for it. They're talking about how they can get it fixed in the next year. That part is important too, because if you start making excuses, then it comes off as the sore loser part. And I think that Jeremiah was trying to make that point from the start. They lost the game, and he doesn't want it to happen again. Here's what he's going to do to correct it.
Yeah, it's beautiful when you think about it. It's three things Thursday, as you said at the jump. And so we've really got two things that we're focusing on here. One, what we have just been focusing on. Two, what we'll talk about in a moment. But what do you think about this quote from the article from The Athletic, Austin? I still have a lot of work to do. I've got 2-3 more years left of college.
I don't know why he said that. It does play into the last part, which was, I can't lose to them in the next 2 years. Maybe I am just like,
hey, he just signed a pretty big deal with Adidas on Wednesday, right? So yeah, this is not a kid who's ever going to be hurting for money in the rest of his life. So what motivates you? Yeah. What if he does lose to Michigan the next 2 years? Does he Chris Olave it up and Terry McLaurin it up and come back for, I mean, I'm just saying, it's not like he's poor. It's not like he's going to be broke.
I think that the Adidas deal, the quotes now, again, we're always reading too much into it, and we haven't got to talk to JJ in, 2.5 months. So we're going to grab onto this, but it's like, there was certainly part of me, and there may still be moving forward, that's like skeptical that NFL people and agents and general managers don't try to get him to Maurice Claret this thing and test the draft eligibility rules.
I thought that was almost a guarantee after this upcoming season. I still think it.
So I wonder if JJ's mentality is that he sees the value of working with Brian Hartline, the development, the opportunity in front of him, and if there are contracts already in place, Adidas or house settlement or otherwise, that make that less likely or far less likely than Maurice Claret's situation now 23 years ago, where if he was trying to get any kind of money in a legally obtained way, he had to test and challenge the draft rules. And maybe we're in a world where that doesn't exist for Jeremiah Smith.
I think there's also another element to it for JJ, because again, I've had that thought. There are certainly going to be NFL people who encourage that to happen, much like there are college people who encourage high school players to reclassify. Like there's always going to be somebody who says, hey, I've got an opportunity here. I could really use a Jeremiah Smith on my team. The fact that his cousin is Geno Smith and he's seen a lot of things go on in the business of the NFL, I wonder if that is another thing that puts Jeremiah in a mindset that says, hey, I don't really need to.
What's the rush?
Yeah, there's no reason. Like college life is pretty good. Let's read the other parts of this story. He doesn't go out much, but when he does, he's driving in his
Lamborghini.
What does it say? His Mercedes, Mercedes AMG GLE. He has a private chef that feeds him every day. That not even talk about when he's at the Woody, but like in his apartment, like he's doing okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I wonder if having a family member who's an NFL quarterback and somebody who's seen the rigors and the ups and downs of NFL life is saying, hey, bud, like I would have loved to spend another year at West Virginia if I was making $5 million.
Yeah. No, I think it was worth bringing up because we've mentioned and sprinkled in enough during the beat, like, I don't know. And it's not because there's any fear for Ohio State of losing him to Miami for the final year of college eligibility or mm-hmm. whatever, the transfer portal. Like the threat is from the NFL level. Like,
let's play the odds here, Austin. I'm really big and smart on gambling terms.
You are.
So, what is more likely, that Jeremiah Smith stays at Ohio State for 3 more years or 1 more year?
Well, 1 more year. Because the circus around him, like there will be legitimate conversations, whether they're back channel or in public, about lawyers wanting to challenge the eligibility rules and add one more wrinkle to make it impossible to talk about college football rosters in the offseason. Like maybe that's
no, too you're much probably panic. Right. I mean, you're maybe probably right. I'm curious. It's one of the side effects of the NIL era that I don't know has really been fleshed out yet, but these dudes are making pretty good money in college football, and there is something really enjoyable, I would think, to be a college student at a place like Ohio State who has everything that Jeremiah Smith has and all of the support and all of the guidance and all of the people who are piece of your success. And there's enough guys who go off to the NFL that come back to Columbus and say, hey, you know what? I just realized this last year. This stuff sucks.
Yeah. I think that's why he'll be here for 2 years.
Yeah.
I think you asked a good question to ponder, one or three.
But here's another question. Can Adidas just sponsor all of Ohio State's wide receiver room in the future while Nike still outfits the entire football program? Because in the last week, now that Jeremiah Smith has been signed as an Adidas athlete, we've seen Chris Henry Jr. announced as an Adidas athlete, Caden Dixon Wyatt announced as an Adidas athlete, and now Jeremiah Smith. And yet, and Emeka Abuka signed with Adidas last week. So there certainly seems to be some connection. Now, of course, Jeremiah Smith, Chris Henry, Caden Dixon Wyatt all play for South Florida Express, which wears a giant Adidas logo on their thing and has a pretty big influence in the sport. So maybe it's tied to that, but it's interesting. I'm just trying to think of ways to take money away from Nike at this point.
Well, I think Nike's going to have to really take a look at what it's doing in this space, because on Saturdays, to the best of my knowledge, unless some exception is carved out here, Jeremiah Smith or Caden Dixon White or Chris Henry Jr., if they're wearing scarlet and gray, will not be able to wear Adidas gear on the sidelines. So some of that's going to be pretty interesting to watch. That's way in the weeds.
Yeah, that's another conversation.
But I think that was an illuminating quote to me. And I think why it's still so solidly in the 2 years is the things that you mentioned about the perks, and why it's not Chris Olave for 4 years is because Chris Olave was not a slam dunk to be a number one or number two pick in the NFL draft, and that money being very different for him. But I think you can go down the list and talk to a bunch of, I bet Garrett Wilson wishes that he had spent one more year in Columbus, but the situation was obviously not the same for him.
Yeah.
And he had a slightly different situation when it came to the quarterback, where JJ's currently is uncertain. I still strongly believe that there is going to be a quarterback competition on July 31st when camp starts. That doesn't mean that this quote is any less significant coming from the best player in America. This was JJ on Julian Sayin to Manny Navarro. Again, this is from the Athletic story. That quote, that arm is different. He can make any and every throw. Just a smart quarterback. Like me, he's a little quiet, but he's starting to come out of his shell. He's definitely going to be a guy. It's going to be scary for opponents. Let me start with my caveat. I was not there. I've not seen video of this interview. My assumption is that this question was addressed to JJ specific to Julian Sayin, and not like, hey, what do you think the quarterback battle is going to be like? And Jeremiah chose to talk about Julian Sayin. Maybe he did. This will now be another topic of conversation when we get to Las Vegas. But if my operating assumption is correct, because this story also identified Julian Sayin as Ohio State's starting quarterback, which you and I, neither of us believe that is, we can't report that that is an accurate description of Julian Sayin. Maybe it will be in mid-August, but it is not as of right now. So I suspect it was asked about Julian Sayin specifically. Jeremiah answered it specifically and did not choose to add any reference to Lincoln Kienholz on his own. And we can say that maybe that part is significant, but he was asked a question and he answered it directly. And I'm not faulting anyone for the way it happened. I'm just putting that caveat in there that this doesn't necessarily guarantee JJ is stamping Julian Sayin as a starting quarterback.
I will remove your caveat and just say I stand firmly 10 toes on the fact that Manny Navarro, being a Miami beat writer and a national writer with The Athletic, has no idea about the nuance of Ohio State's quarterback room, and the perception nationally is that Julian Sayin is the clear-cut starting quarterback, and so I think he's probably just making an assumption. I will say that pretty, you know, stamp it. There's no way in the world he thinks Lincoln Kienholz has a chance to beat out Julian Sayin, and as we said on Tuesday, if you ask Jeremiah Smith a question, he will answer it. He is not going to add more to it. He is not going to expound upon it. He's going to, so what do you think about Julian Sayin? How can he help this team? This is the answer. There is still nuance in this response, which just says he's definitely going to be a guy. Like there's a key phrase missing there, which is the guy versus a guy.
Or he's already a guy.
Right. Like he's, I, I'm, I think it's a worthwhile quote, but I think if you're asking a question based on a presupposition that you aren't really in tune with the reality of the situation, you're going to get an answer that is leaving out some key elements and some key context. So I'm not faulting Manny Navarro. Manny Diaz,
either one.
Yeah,
neither did anything wrong here.
Yeah, I'm not faulting any of the Mannies for this. Manny Ramirez, great player, yeah. One of the best hitters I've ever seen. But point is, Manny Ramirez shouldn't be asking about Ohio State's quarterback situation either, because he doesn't know. So
Manny Ramirez actually watches the beat, so I think he probably would have put it in the right context.
He cuts the tape. No, but it's relevant, of course. But nationally, and we'll go back to Monday's conversation about the video game, when NCAA college football is released next Thursday, 1 week from today, the ranking for Julian Sain is going to be 5 or 6 points, probably higher than Lincoln Kienholz. There's just an assumption that he's the quarterback. I don't personally live in a world of assumptions.
Yeah. I mean, also, I think we said last August that Julian Sain's arm is different. The release is different. The accuracy seems different. Like, that is what separates him from Lincoln Kienholz. And we've said many times the ceiling for Julian Sain as a passer, almost certainly higher than what Lincoln Kienholz provides. What Lincoln Kienholz would offer Ohio State is a different level of athleticism and a dual threat opportunity. So, like, that hasn't been hashed out, and it will be at the end of July. We're in the first week of July. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. And happy birthday to America.
Yeah, absolutely. Way to go. You made it another year. You look great, by the way. You're graying a little bit, sure, but who isn't these days? The important part of this quote to me is where Jeremiah Smith says he's a little quiet, but he's starting to come out of his shell, because that is what I've been saying. Like, that's the question mark about Julian Sain. It's not about his physical talent. It's not about his ability to spin the football. Like, he can do that. Everyone knows. Can you be a Will Howard-esque leader of this football program? Because that is what's needed. Every other leader from this team, basically, with the exception of Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles and Carson Hinsman, which, again, maybe not exactly the best examples of three guys who are big, boisterous, stand in front of the media, take the shots type of leaders. That's what this team needs. So I appreciate Jeremiah Smith answering all these questions, but the real secret sauce here for me about the Sain quote is Julian Sain developing into that guy? And The last time we saw him, we were standing outside of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center a couple weeks ago doing an episode of The Beat, and you could see, like, got a little bit of a walk to him, a little strut, like he's looking people in the eye when they walk. You know, there's the little tells that you think, hey, something's happening here. But none of that stuff matters until August 15th.
That's right. And that'll be here before you know it. So will Big Ten Media Days. We are inside 3 weeks from that.
We should tell people about Friday. We're not going to be here in the Friday morning at 5 a.m., folks, just to be clear.
There will not be a 4th of July version of The Beat. If there is news that requires any kind of analysis, snap judgment, stuff talking, we'll do that. Yeah. But there will be no Beat. It will be a holiday morning for you to spend with your families and not with us. Unfortunately, we're going to miss you, but we're going to celebrate with our families the 4th of July weekend. We will, of course, be back on Monday. And if we happen to see you before then, even better. And it'll probably be good news for the Buckeyes. We'll see. Either way, have a great 4th. He's Berm. I'm Austin. This has been the Austin and Berm Show on a Thursday. We did three things. We'll talk to you later.